Welcome everybody for the first afternoon session where we're gonna proceed now with the discussion of Volk Grasmoog's Steps Media Stack paper and Gert-Jan Bogart's talk about the project PubHubs, a social project, and we thought that there in both talks have been touched, especially governance issues, and which we wanted to start to the debate about that, because so far we focused mostly on technical aspects, and so this is a good opportunity to start the discussion. Thankfully, Roland proposed to have here this Sibula setting, so I ask Volker and Gert-Jan to take a seat here out at the stage, and the fourth chair will be kept free, and anybody who wants to join the debate will then please take a seat here on this fourth chair. And so actually, you can now decide who want to go first. We can Knobel. I don't know what's that in English. And we have a second. Yes. So whoever
wants. Shall we continue the discussion we had in the lunch table? Because then we already know who we have to invite up here, right?
As we have mentioned over lunch.
Alexander was very was a bit angry with us because no, I'm just kidding. Because we already started the discussion at the lunch table.
Yeah, this is just my experience from the radio. You should not burn everything in the pre-discussion, but keep everything left for the radio session itself. So, but yeah, maybe I can ask you to join us from the beginning as the colleagues proposed. Maybe you're gonna introduce yourself briefly and then pose your questions.
Okay, hello everyone. My name is Zoe Slavina. I'm from Poland and I work with multimedia platforms, participatory culture, also ethics and philosophical aspects of the media. And yeah, today I would like to also participate in this discussion that related to the government's ethical considerations, user migration, how demigratory queues are placed in diverse hubs or something else. So yeah, maybe it's not everything I mentioned that I deal with, but I think the discussion will open up with my knowledge as well. Okay, thank you. Okay, maybe I suggest we start the discussion so we kind of get to a certain point and then I will be able to ask certain questions. Well, we need to start the flow or something. Okay, maybe let's start that we were talking about the element of the government in regulating the certain aspects of hubs. So what part does the government play in the hub regulation? So we talked about this user who kind of supposed to be, who misbehave, should pass through certain recertification maybe, or certain kind of reallowance to enter the system. And also in this case, what we discussed is the question is, so we have this kind of independent system. That also where third parties participate, of course, with sign of contract, and then they can regulate their hubs, create also rooms. However, in the case when some people or users misbehave, they have to be brought to justice, of course, depending on the severity of their misbehavior. And then the question is like that, would kind of what would be the government position in this, because we kind of give those users to punishment. So we say, you're kind of out of our system. You cannot participate in regulating our hubs directly, or maybe in some indirect way, depends on who is the creator of the hub. Yet, we kind of give them users to punishment. So there is also question, how is it will be based on where users are physically located, what law applies, how exactly this system work. So this is more already more governance and political aspects of this. So yeah, also do we have certain universal laws and whom do we trust with our data? Because we mentioned that there will be a kind of third parties who will still regulate certain information. So whom do we trust the most? Is it certain universal practices like worldwide or is it more local? Another question that we just, it's okay, happens. Technical rain.
Just stick with this one question.
So I just thought to kind of introduce to the points that were covered. So we bring everyone on the same track and also discuss these elements that we found important and would like to also bring to the audience. And Okay, so what's the element of government in such independent hubs?
I want to make an analogy. If we see entrance and participation within that pub system as a basic human right, under what circumstances can you take away that basic human right for anybody participating in society? And I make the analogy to having the passive right to be elected. I'm not sure what that's called in England, in English, but it's a basic human right to get elected to some kind of representative council, right? But that's actually not true. There are circumstances in which this basic human right is being taken away from people. For instance, if you're a criminal, people who are sitting in prison actually cannot, in most European countries, be elected to a representative body. So for the duration of their incarceration, that basic human right, they can still vote, but they cannot get elected. So, and in that respect, it's not so strange to assume that participation in such a hub is not inalienable human right. For instance, your life is a basic human right. I mean, in most European countries, we don't have the death penalty anymore. Nobody can take it away. Do we equate participation in pub hubs with that kind of human right, or is it more akin to like the right to be elected and take part in a representative council?
Yeah, maybe for me the question was then what is the way to differentiate? And when we have in the beginning, pub hubs won't be that big as it would be Facebook, so that you could say, okay, if you're in a part of this game, although it could already be with one room, that it's nevertheless a question of, is this some sort of inclusion that hinders you to use your rights that you have by law? So this would be then for me the question. Nevertheless, if we give it back to the court, they could only decide on laws. And so, for example, if pub hubs is an essential facility, then we have to adhere to the essential facility theory. It's the question has to be posed, is it an essential facility? And then what part of rights you would have to provide to user nevertheless, since it is essential facility, like it's mostly in competition right, competition law. If there's just one harbor in a country, then you cannot exclude a company of using this harbor. So this is the concept of essential facility, or we have this must carry obligations. If you're the only cable provider in the town, then you have the, in Austria, for example, you need to carry at least one public access broadcaster. So this in Linz here, DorfTV went to the public media authority and fought this through to get the access here. And so this,
they did get it.
And so this is for me the distinction also, and there is another case in Austria that is quite interesting. There was the former head of the Green Party that ran a lawsuit against Facebook, and the interesting thing was that she filed injunction, and she filed it in Vienna, although the seat of Facebook Europe is in Ireland. And so the first thing was to discuss, is it possible to file a lawsuit in Vienna against Facebook? And finally, the European Court of Justice decided yes, because it wasn't an injunction. And this brings up the aspect that it took 20 years of the e-commerce regulation to be in place, where it is regulated that injunction you can file in each state where something occurred. And it took 20 years that somebody did it. So my point is, a lot of complaints about hate speech and things aren't regulated there, and the difficulties to get your law through, and why is this some sort of place without a law? I think it's not true. Nobody did it just. So for example, in Venezuela, they had some sort ad hoc courts, let me put it like this, where you have a short procedure as a measurement against hate speech just to enforce law. And this is what I think is nevertheless needed to divide or have a clear distinction what are ethical aspects, which should be part of the governance system internally, and decided like this, like mentioned from Volker, this Mastodon covenant. And the other thing is, what is the law? This would be my first thing. But we had at the lunch table another aspect. What is if the court system or the laws in, if you stick just to Europe, in one member state, in a way that the basic human rights are not secured. And so, as we see it also with the GDPR, I mean, it is ridiculous what in Ireland is possible, although the European Court of Justice says this is unlawful. So now for the Digital Services Act, they decided to have a more centralized European board to decide, like we have it in the competition law. And I think we would need for some sort of regulation also carried specific decisions if it is an essential facility onto a centralized board where it's more secure that we have the basic law implemented and executed.
So, yeah, so I mean, there's this different levels. So if a member of a PubHub does something that is against criminal law, then you don't need the procedure of inviting him or her and then passing them on, because it's public law, so it should be enforced by the police and by the law enforcement institutions. This is the only possibility I see, that person acted against a contractual obligation. And then we're in private law, and then there's a different legal system, right? And then you could enforce it. And then the question about location, geography, so if you invite a person in as a first level, that would mean that person is in the vicinity. So the idea seems to be that pop-ups are all local, and the possibility that someone from Portugal or from Sweden is a member of a pop-up in the Netherlands doesn't even exist, right? So then
it can be.
Yeah, but then you invite a person from Portugal for a personal meeting to the Netherlands?
No, but for instance, you can imagine an institution having members all over Europe, but based in Holland. So this institution would operate from Holland, has users all over Europe, and operates a hub based in Holland, but has users, you know, living in Portugal or Ireland or Poland or wherever.
But these people would then still have to travel physically to the Netherlands for the interview, right?
If such a person would consistently misbehave, yes. But no, I mean, let me change my mind on that. no, because...
Continuous redesign.
Continuous redesign, absolutely. I mean, this is what happens all the time. No, but I'm thinking, if this organization that has this pan-European membership is based in Holland, and this person misbehaves within singly that particular hub, in different rooms, but in that particular hub, it's that particular hub is fully in its right to ban that person. And it will have its own, you know, procedures in place how to appeal against such a decision. That's going to be part of the contract. What I was talking about before, if such a person misbehaves over several different hubs, so you need some kind of, you know, body that is closely linked to the master organizer, if you will, but also the one who decides, the body that decides upon merge requests of the software, what to take in, what not to take in, prioritization of further development, and so on. That particular body, I think, is also the ultimate arbiter, perhaps delegated, perhaps through, again, all kinds of established procedures, but would be the ultimate arbiter of infringements that cross more than one hub. Where that is located, we don't know.
Just to understand, so then there is, we were talking about driver's license equivalents for being able allowed onto the internet. And that would mean the original sign-up process, the original authentication in IRMA, that would be the instance that would also be able to withdraw that permission to participate in the entire network, right?
Yeah, it's a single point of entry to the PubHub's system for the end user at this moment. But I think it's desirable to have more than one single point of entry. But in the end, you do need a possibility to identify single users, because one of the basic design tenets that we have is that we do not want to allow for fake accounts or for any kind of, you know, misuse of the infrastructure that characterizes a lot of the present social platforms.
Just a quick question. No, I don't want to too much enjoy, but just a quick kind of a...
Okay,
yes. All right, just a quick side note. I think we might be overcomplicating this. As a kind of a idea from real life is, if you go into a pub and you misbehave there and they throw you out and you're forbidden to come into that pub again, you might go to another one and drink beer there and then misbehave again, and they will throw you out of that one. So at the end of the day, you're out of the pubs that you can go. So that might already be enough punishment.
This is one of the points I wanted to underline. And maybe we now mentioned a physical place, like a pub, as I understood, as a bar. But we also have something like this already in place in digital systems. Like, if you misbehave in a certain community in the same Facebook, you also get banned. If you misbehave in Instagram, you can also get blocked from the whole Instagram and you need to reestablish your account. So this is already some practices that we already have in place. So this can be also understood in this context. What's the problem here? Is that we're talking it on a more global scale in that sense. So maybe if you get blocked from Instagram, you can still go to Messenger and Facebook and you still communicate with others. But if you consistently, systematically misbehave in numerous, quite large quantities of hubs, what's gonna happen then? So one of the points is that as was mentioned in presentation, and I hope I understood everything correctly, is that certain hubs are regulated by particular third parties that sign contract who have access to this hub system, and thus able to establish certain internal laws. In this case, they can regulate the punishment. They can say, again, like your example, that you don't align with our no-fight rule, you're getting kicked out. Because in our bar or hub, there is no fighting, no, I don't know, very hate speech. We don't accept it here. It's not a hub like this, please, you're blocked, exit. So the question is whether maybe we should even regulate when a user misbehaves in numerous pubs. Because in the end, if such are regulated by third parties, okay, let's take example more physical and quite understandable, continue your example. We have a city lens, yes? If a person consistently misbehaves in every pub in the city, like every pub, what's gonna happen then? So, yes? Because we, for example, I don't know, if it's a crime, you get punished because maybe you harmed another person. You get punished for this because it brought harm. Then you can involve this court system and justice. So maybe it could be something similar in the sense, because just misbehavior that not consistent with third parties is kind of also may differ from the public harm or something like this.
May I ask Franz to join the debate and bring up this concept you draw down in the article about the European cultural backbone, that one hub could use the moderation system of another?
Yeah, before you do that, I need to, I think, clarify one thing that's important in the discussion here. The central, I mean, if VPRO, my organization, bans a person, but that person still keeps on to his original account, it is possible for him to make a new account at VPRO to come back, right? And that's something that's where we need to identify that same person misbehaving over a longer period of time and over several hubs, and that's where you need the central, yeah.
Just a very quick add. So it also may depend, for example, on the authentication system in the hub itself. Maybe they are okay that you kind of misbehaved, and it's okay if you create another account, just the person learned its lesson, and then they will behave properly to not get kicked out again. But not everybody taking a lesson. So yeah, I understand that there is global system with inner hubs. So how do we regulate this situation? So there are third parties, but there is something global.
From my point of view, one thing is that I really don't think that the government or government entities should be included in our like structures of moderation and community control that we talk about, apart from the, of course, in our society always existing limits of the law. Like whatever we do technically and how we structure community moderation, of course, laws will still apply, and as we all know, depending on those in power and the dynamics in the society, those laws can be applied towards cases that we agree with, that like maybe it's justified that some action is happening or not, the other way around. And at least from my point of view, trust in governments to be a better moderation party than ourselves is really not there. Like, we've been discussing a lot the moderation policies of big tech companies, and I think we all agree that control over who says what should not be in the hand of a few like big tech companies and their policies. But I also don't think it should be in control of governments, because there we have very similar problems, that accountability usually is quite low.
Completely agree. Hmm? I completely agree.
Yeah. So what I think is, like, if we're talking about the field we are meeting here, like community media and media publishing on the internet, I think we should put into focus not just the ultimate rules and the ultimate arbiter of some decision-making processes of what is allowed and what not, but I think it starts much earlier. Moderation is a lot of work. If a platform becomes big, then and there is a lot of user interaction happening, then it's a lot of work and not especially fun work to do to kind of moderate all these all this user interaction. I know of a few community media publishers who explicitly said, no, we don't do commenting on our sites, not because we wouldn't like debate, but we just can't handle it. We know that like right-wingers will show up and post Nazi bullshit on our sites, and we will want to remove it as soon as possible because we don't want to provide a platform for those opinions, but we just cannot handle like the work of doing that. And I think that is something when we're thinking about creating a network of platforms or creating bigger meta platforms that are run by community organizations and not by big tech platforms, we will have to find ways on how to deal with that. And I think one quite promising starting point for that is to kind of separate the content layer that is coming from more or less trusted providers within a network. So there's agreements, there's networks. Of course, if we're talking about open source software, whoever else can do their own platforms. Volker has been mentioning the example of Truth Social, the new Donald Trump social media platform using the Mastodon code base, but it's excluded from the federation networks of pretty much all other instances. So if we have such a content layer, I think we should think about moderation and user comments as like a separate layer that can move across this content repository on different instances, and there can be different nodes that share the same, that show the same underlying content, that have different moderation policies applied on top for user interaction. And then we will likely want to have a system where you can share this moderation work between nodes. So let's say the CBA runs a news site that has user interaction right on the platform, and then another node can say, okay, I trust the CBA in their moderation policies, so I take over their blocks and censorship decisions onto my side. But at any point in time, I could decide, now I don't agree with the CBA anymore because they've been doing weird things or whatever. So I employ new policies that differentiate, and that could be like a growing network of trust-based moderation cooperation. And I think we will need something like this if this should get bigger, because otherwise, if we start replicating content between different platforms and like building up on the idea of the Fediverse that you can connect to everyone else in the whole network, the amount, just the raw amount of content that somehow will be has needs of being moderated will increase much more than it is now on these more or less smallish islands of community platforms. And so I think we will need technical tools for that, and also governance structures that are rooted in those community organizations that run the platforms, because that actually is a big bonus that we have there. Those community organizations, they have a history of talking about the acceptable limits of free speech on these platforms. They have a discourse about that is rooted in community discussions, and that are accountable to their constituents, to their members or listeners and so on, and they will also be accountable for future decisions there. So this is something to build up upon, I think.
Now you can hear me, yeah? Okay, so how we were mentioning the government in that context is that the government is not regulating itself, the hubs. It's more about this kind of punishment system for misbehavior. So this was more of a question, I guess, rather than regulating the hubs itself. I mean, unless the hub is the signed certain government body that provide content on their behalf, so this is a bit different then. So as I understand from your speech, you kind of want to involve third party moderation. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think the individual nodes will have to be responsible for the moderation on their nodes, on their hubs. However, the work can be overwhelming, so I think there will have to be a network of trust-based moderation, like overtake. I can take over the moderation decisions by some other nodes, like shared block lists as a service. Yeah. So and then out of this, like, hopefully networks will emerge that provide accountability and have an ongoing discussion on the exact policies that should govern this platform. But I think that will have to emerge over time also, and will change over time how exactly this works. And there will also always be likely be other nodes that take other moderation decisions, but that's just the internet. Like, in the end, we all know that we cannot regulate the internet. It just doesn't work. So it's more about creating spaces where many people can move and express themselves freely without being harassed and without being exposed to things that does harm the discourse in there.
Yeah, I think it's also open question, like, can we also regulate life in general, the physical life, completely? I think it's also a good matter of security to have certain private spaces, as in physical world, also in digital world. So it's not every kind of system or place that we can regulate also here. So there is, like, underground certain elements, or maybe outlaw or something like this. So I think the internet is also kind of doubling the situation, something similar to that.
I think also in general, I recognize what you're saying, because I've been the moderator at a community platform myself for a couple of years. But what would make a big difference if you like put in place a general political discussion platform, the risk of that is much higher than when it's highly specialized or technical. So I can imagine that for such a platform, you would require people to use their real names. Which is an obstacle for participation, but also, like, it has a civilizing influence, I suppose, because people tend to, behave better when they are not anonymous. Michael, no? Come here.
I don't agree to that, actually. I think that certainly can happen, but on the other hand, it will definitely exclude a lot of people whose voices should be heard in such platforms. There's various reasons why people will not sign up with a real name, and the reason doesn't have to be that they want to engage in uncivic, or however you call it, discourse. It might be out of security reasons, it might be because they don't have, they cannot appear in public with their proper name, maybe because they don't have a legal status in the country they are living in. There can be various reasons, and I think enforcing real name policies would mean that, if you actually wanted to do that, it would mean that there would have to be an ID check to participate, like with a government issued ID, and that is, I think, but very exclusionary, and I would not want to engage in having a baseline that would require that.
But that's what pop-ups are about, that you have your identity that is perhaps not shown, but the user, also the owner of the platform, knows that you are the person, even if it doesn't know the name, but you know it's a man from the Netherlands, for instance. So I see the discussion currently, within a community, there should be their moderation rules, and they can be banned and things like that. But I think the point about pop-ups was, when has the decision grow to a public level? When courts should decide? When does public starts for this decision making? I think that would be the important question.
I was thinking on this issue as well, because I want to underline what Franz said. I don't know the media system in the Netherlands, but I think in Germany and Austria we have all things of media on a different authority, delaying on the experience of the Second World War. And so we have a special authority that, and we would never, never, ever give this right to regulate these questions, because outside the real fixed law to the government, because then we are back in this time.
But my follow-up question be, why should we as civil society moderators be better than private companies? So why is our decision-making to ban someone better than the private company? That's just as a principle question.
Just as an example, Wikipedia apparently is much, much better in this than YouTube and whoever. I mean, it's not that there are no problems, but therefore from there is this idea of community moderation somehow.
So I think that's very important, the example of Wikipedia. Gert-Jan, you said before, if there need to be clear rules in specialized communities, and this is an example of a specialized community that over the years has set very clear rules of what is on topic, what is off topic, and therefore also a clear, very clear basis for moderation. But before we go there, I think this is an important question to think about what we can learn from that. But before that, I would like to go back to this last line of defense that you have suggested, that after this personal conversation, if the conflict is still persisting, you pass it on to the courts. And I think we have to clarify what the basis of that could be. So one, my idea was that it was a breach of contract. And then we're in civil law, and then you have lawyers fighting it out in court. And then the other line of argument you brought up is a fundamental right to be on the internet. And we heard from Alexander one example: if a country only has a single court, then competition law ensures that every economic actor in that country has access to that harbor and cannot be excluded from using that harbor. But this is a situation that I don't see emerging on the internet any time soon. So again, as a migration strategy, you were talking about exclusive content. But then again, if it's entertainment content, there will be other equivalent entertainment content. So from that, I don't think you can derive a human right to access these notes. And if it goes further, if for example, medical treatment is used as an exclusive service that is provided through one hub, then I would question actually whether that is legally feasible to exclude all others and say this is the only place. If you're affected by this disease, you have to go there, and there's no other place. All the other places are sort of legally excluded from providing that service. And therefore, so again, I don't think this line of argument via human right to access something is going to be of practical relevance anywhere soon, if at all. So this, if we can clear out, so the discussion is about what the role of government, or in that case, the judiciary, courts, is in that system. There's privatized courts, so Facebook has established this this oversight board, sort of curating members of the global Facebook community to have the last say on moderation decisions, right? But that's again private. So what can and should be the role of courts in that system we're devising? I think that's something we should clarify before we go on.
Just to add up, perhaps we are all about having alternatives, so must be then the consequence, there must be a human right for having alternatives, so it's never to be allowed that there is a platform that have this content as the one place to have it.
Yeah, I think it's important to point out that when I talked about the network effect and getting the network effect, I was not talking about being exclusive, I was talking about the need for having exclusive content in order to obtain a network effect, right? So it's entirely possible. Talking about human rights, let's take again the example of the young woman suffering from an eating disorder. And I think there are plenty of platforms right now where she can go and talk and discuss and so on. But PubHubs is intending to provide the one platform that's completely safe for her, that has no commercial influence, that has no predators lurking there and trying to, you know, make use of that person's vulnerability. Does she have a human right to have access to that platform or not?
I think that here is going to be a question that certain, I would say maybe partially government or certain civil society groups are just, always open unless you are maybe, imprisoned. So, for example, the healthcare, you cannot deny access to healthcare to a person, even if they misbehave in like general hubs. I think this is totally different things about this human right needs and just aspects that people kind of need to fulfill, like health, maybe some governing elements as well, maybe driving also, like day-to-day communication. So I think if we're talking about this denial, it goes more to the kind of community level, as I understand. And also about the content, I think the content layer and moderation and user layer that was also discussed. In this sense, there could be like more universal certain regulations regarding the content that included in the contract. So there was mention of a contract that regulators of hubs need to sign. So what included also in this contract? So the contract itself also can be questioned. So what is included in it? What values it brings? So in this case, it's something to also consider, because if we, for example, would have on hands this contract right now, I think there would be still a little bit different questions. So we kind of also need to understand this kind of future aspect that is not in place yet. So this, I would say, general aspect. And then, what was it also? I forgot to mention something. The discussion was on the...
About the courts.
So
we need courts.
Yeah, so this is kind of, I think I say that there are systems that you cannot deny access to. Like, even, again, example of pubs. Even if you denied from any club and every pub, every bar in a city, you can still go to the doctor. You can still use public transport. You can still, take walks outside. You just deny to those specific places. So we just talking about this system being integrated on a such wide scale. So it's also important to understand, will it be supplemental to the current digital systems or will it take over? Because I don't think, for example, there was a case that we kind of would like to move away from Facebook and move to the hubs. So partially this idea where the regulation is kind of more transparent, more free, and has these democratic values that are very important in modern society. So yes, this question as well.
Trying to answer about when do we need courts, we should certainly try to avoid involving courts. And well, there's probably some few cases where you cannot avoid having courts involved. And how can voids courts are involved if somebody calls the court? And so we need proposals, and I think you should offer as an organization templates for hubs for their internal regulation, as any community media, any radio station has evolved and made their rules, who is responsible for what do we accept, what not. And as any NGO has clear statutes and roles are also elected, my proposal would be that PubHub providers also have such a democratic procedure and ask people in the moderation board, yeah, for 1 year, for example. And then they should shift and change again as the cashiers also shouldn't be always the same in the NGO, because this could be making some biases financially at some point. So you should really think about which roles are needed for pop-ups. They need technical roles, communication roles, marketing roles, but also these moderation roles. And they also all should be, ideally, if the hub is big enough, be elected.
I agree completely. I only have one objection against your formulation. You say you should think about, I say we should think about. I mean, I want this to be a collective effort.
Let's start this afternoon.
Maybe I wanted to say something to what Volk meant, that there is no thing like a right to have access to communication infrastructure. And here again, I see on the one hand the law could be some sort of support for that. I mean, on the one hand, there's the Digital Services Act that already provides for various rules that off the a platform that runs such a communication system needs to have some sort of clearance of an issue that bases on a principle on basic law principles, so that it's not just because they're the weather today is fine, so that you can be stay on the platform, and if it's not nice the weather, then you are kicked out. I mean, there are other examples of we had here in Austria. How's she called? She's an artist, and often some sort of victim of rightist activism, and they always complained about her on Facebook, and then her access was denied, and so I think this is still something, and this won't be just for Facebook, could be also here the case to say, well, there need to be some sort of a fair proceeding guaranteed that you can have access to this platform. And there are also basic principles of the law, of the constitutional law, that are applied for private offers. And I think this would then apply here as well.
This is very good element. That's also very important to consider, and I think that, as was mentioned, there are certain present digital legislations that we already have in place that can already kind of decide what actions in the internet, even on distant countries, need legal involvement. So which procedures could be brought to court? Yes, it's also about moderation. So there are, again, could be some general moderations, and as it was mentioned, there are different parties that can moderate it, but also if we have such universal system, because as I understand, it comes as such global system that replaces basically multiple digital media that we currently have. So what values get embedded in these legislations? So whom kind of, whose cultural maybe, or normative elements?
It's only procedural. In the DSA, the DSA doesn't say this is normatively good and this is bad, but it only says if a platform kicks a content off or kicks a user off the platform, then that user has to have the access to a complaint, internal platform complaint procedure, and then an external, and then as a final level, he or she can go to court. Mm-hmm. So it's purely procedural.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but it's also about what is considered to be worth the denial of certain access. Like, of course, there are, as it was mentioned, certain private parties, but what is considered, for example, inappropriate content. So we have certain general understanding what is inappropriate content. But also how, for example, because moderators as humans are not always able to go through each content in the internet and in such web, I think it also will be the case. So there probably will be certain algorithms in place. So also judgment of algorithm can be also biased, which is also currently a problem that we're trying to fix. So how, for example, certain gender maybe or age kind of these categories influence your categorization by algorithm. So how also this algorithm categorize the people, because categorization itself is already bearing certain values considering what is significant to be accounted in the algorithm. So this is also, I think, a big question, not only for this system, but for general systems. So how do we establish this categorization?
Okay, basically, I think one of the core elements is that we start from the point of decentralized moderation, right? And in the extreme, if you will, because if at VPRO we build a hub and then we can build as many rooms as we want, and we can have each room provide its own moderation. We can also make a system in which you say, okay, we've got this room for general political discussion around Backlight against this documentary series, right? And it has a maximum membership of 500 people. And we just say, okay, that's it, because we can't, you know, we can't simply facilitate more. There's nothing against that in principle to make it and keep it manageable at all. In a sense, from a marketing point of view, it might even make it more desirable to exclusive to become a member of that club, if you will. So I think it opens up all kinds. This decentralization opens up all kinds of possibilities that are not possible within the current known areas of moderation, that simply because of their size and scale need to rely way too much on algorithms and armies of moderators that have the most terrible job in the world. And you know, there's the identification system, there's the question of the smaller scale. Those are really important to get at, to keep that manageable.
Okay, perhaps to add up to this, so there is the human right for free speech, but there's no human right for free reach. So cannot that be the moderation principle? Only when you have a certain reputation by your fellow members, you are allowed to reach more. Or in the other direction, if you misbehave, you lose reach. Couldn't that be a moderation beside this binary system, you're in or out?
Yeah, this is very interesting and very significant question that also exists in contemporary digital, I would say, dialogue, or also it can be considered an issue. Let's take example of same Facebook. So how reach works there? So there is certain algorithm that kind of allow you to reach multiple, like the audience. So if you follow or post something in the Facebook, there are kind of categories how you will be promoted in someone else's feed. So for example, I would say if you reached 10 likes in the first 1 minute after your post is there, you get promoted further to more people. Sometimes we also have nowadays such thing as we see posts from people we don't subscribe to, we don't follow to, and those appear in our feeds kind of as a proposition because those got popular, let's say, in another hub, so that was people subscribed to. So this element of reach is also very important, of who holds power of reach and how it's also evaluated. What elements define the reach itself, because reach, it's also element of power, I would say. So if somebody has very wide reach, it means they can kind of be heard or at least seen or to some extent just mentioned by other people who can be influenced by this or who can take it seriously or lightly on in any different ways. So this element of reach is kind of taken or given power. It's also would be important to how to moderate also people with very high reach, because they kind of have this social responsibility toward the people that they are reaching to.
We have just 2 minutes left. I mean, we might extend the duration, but I'm somehow a little bit. I think we went through the most important questions, and I mean, for me, one question is left still. When you are talking about we set up the rules, and you have nevertheless this central issuing instance in the Netherlands, how does this correspond to each other? Should be then some sort of governance body of nodes that then is responsible for this central node, or what are the thoughts about that?
We don't know yet. At the moment, this development core of led by Bart Jacobs is working with a sounding board group, we call it, which consists of representatives of about 10 or 12 different public organizations that feed them with the kind of requirements that we need, that talk with their, you know, their bases, their own people that they represent, and you know, there's this continuous discussion. But as I mentioned, I think the question you're asking is one of the main questions that still needs to be answered. We don't know how we're going to regulate that central core. And I think that's part of the research that José van Dijk is now conducting and that's interesting, from at least three different disciplines. She's using people with legal expertise. She's using people that have a background in public policy making, and she uses people that have a background in media and communications. So I think these are at least the three disciplines that you need, and probably there's going to be two or three or four more that need to be involved at some point. I think one of the main questions that we are facing right now is that, you know, I don't know how many of you people are scientists, but science is a long process, and their rhythm and the rhythm of science and the rhythm of design are completely different. In design, it's a matter of iterating, you know, trying out, experimenting, and going very quickly. And with science, it takes years and years. So she's, you know, in the meantime, developing some kind of new scientific process called research by design, or perhaps design by research. So, yeah. Not very satisfactory, I'm afraid.
No, well, interesting at least to know where the state is. And if there are no further contributions, I would then close the debate. And yeah, thank you all for the vivid discussion. And we're going to have a brief break and then continue with the presentation about how is this program? CBA Hungary, it's not more. Okay, CBA Hungary. Yeah.